Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
The heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture, and 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Today we chat with Agriculture Minister David Merritt about Ottawa's new $32 million Indo-Pacific Farm Trade Office, Agribition, and the passing of Canadian Cattle President Red Schellenberg suddenly on last Friday. We also talk with the president of APAS about his presentation yesterday to the Commons Committee on Technology. Ian Boxall wants to ensure farmers have the right to repair their own farm machinery. We look at rising food prices and inflation. And we talk to a 10-year-old exhibitor at Agribition who sold a cow last week for $49,000. The farm weather's in its usual spot.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And brought to you by Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your well water wonderful and your dugout drinkable. Get your Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. Saskatchewan farmers are expressing support for Canada's first ever Indo-Pacific Agricultural Office. Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bebeau says the office will receive almost $32 million in funding to support expanded farm trade in the Indo-Pacific region. Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt welcomes the announcement.
We're, very glad to see that the federal government has made a commitment to, obviously, a trade in this region. It really does just help pull into line with our offices. We have four in the region with India, China, Japan, and Singapore. So obviously we see some great opportunity for us. That's why we've opened those offices. And we can see, a collaboration here where we can obviously work with the federal government. But it's good to see that they see the importance of this region and the importance that it brings to Canada on the trade side.
Is this a big market for Saskatchewan?
We see a great opportunity here. We really do. And I think it even showcases when you look at Agribition, and the folks that were here from that region as well. So we just see it as a great opportunity. We're starting to see a lot of the companies here in the province of Saskatchewan are starting to do some business into that area. We're seeing trade grow in Vietnam and things like that. Japan is obviously a very big customer of ours that we really want to build on that trade. So, and that's why in Singapore, India, we see obviously the growth is really growing there as well. We've done trade missions there, and I'm sure we will continue just because we see the importance of India to obviously not just to the pulse sector, but there's other opportunities as well.
China is a bit of a wild card. It's been a big market, but there have been some issues there too.
Yeah, there has. And, we're always concerned, but I mean, China still buys product and, all we really like to do is be able to work with the companies that do business there and just to ensure that, there's no challenges around that like we've had in the past with trade challenges with a couple of the big companies here in the province of Saskatchewan. So, we'll continue to work with those companies. I think our trade offices are very important for these companies to be able to use those trade offices to obviously build relationships. But if they do have challenges or concerns, we can obviously assist when we have I'll do boots on the ground.
Agribition was on last week, a very busy week. Your general thoughts on the show?
I thought it was fantastic, Jim. I attended the show virtually every day. The only day I didn't get there was Saturday, but it's a great opportunity. It was great to see a lot of kids in the facilities again, a lot of exhibitors again. a well-run show, you know, by Sean and the board and the entire team. But as I've said, and I'll continue to say, it's amazing the volunteers that they get to really help out to put this show on, you know, on the world stage. And it really is when you see so many countries there and delegations. I was going through the barns and I saw a contingent from Mexico talking to some breeders about some stock there as well. So it's good to see that.
I'd like a comment, if I could, on the passing of Reg Schellenberg. He's, of course, president of the Canadian Cattle Association and passed away suddenly on Friday. Your thoughts?
I'm very, very saddened to hear of Reg's passing, and my condolences go out to Reg and to his entire family. I was shocked. I had a good visit with Reg and his wife on Wednesday night at the Premier's reception here at the legislature. And Reg has been a strong advocate for the livestock sector, for the cattle industry here, and not only in Saskatchewan, but Western Canada. I've had the privilege to know Reg for quite a few years now, and I just want to really, it shocked me when I heard it. But Reg has been on the calls with many of the calls that I made to the industry all through COVID, when we were dealing, obviously, last year with the drought and the challenges we had around that, around the cattle industry. And he was a first-class gentleman, a great advocate for the livestock industry and particularly the cattle industry. But he will truly be missed.
That's Agriculture Minister David.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Connexus Credit Union. Saskatchewan's General Farm Group appeared in Ottawa yesterday to highlight the right of farmers to repair their own machinery. President Ian Boxall spoke to the Commons Committee on Industry and Technology, pointing to the need for farmers to have access to the computer programs used in their equipment.
So it was the Industry and Technology Committee, and it was researching Bill C-244, which is the right to repair on equipment and all sorts of stuff, from your dishwasher to your cell phone to your car to your tractor, all of that. So I presented to them that, you know, as long as there's been farmers and farm equipment, farmers have fixed it, and that needs to continue.
What are the current regulations around that kind of thing?
I think there's some regulations around the fact that the ability for farmers or third-party repair shops to get access to some of the software is limited. So you buy a new combine and then you are not able to diagnose it yourself, and I think that needs changed. You get out in the landscape here and you get 2 hours from the closest dealer, and how sensitive our time is and how short our seasons are, we need to be able to have every tool in the toolbox to diagnose and fix our equipment as we see fit, right?
What kind of reception did you receive?
No, I think it was positive. I think the committee, from my take on the committee, I think they agree that that is probably a right of the equipment, of the person that's buying the equipment. And in the same token, I don't want to discount that the manufacturers have done a great job of developing the technology and the stuff that we use now in our equipment. But in the same token, we need to be able to repair it in the most effective and efficient manner possible.
And trying to get somebody out in the field to do a repair, or when time is of the essence, or you're in the middle of a snowstorm, it's something you want to fix yourself as quickly as you can.
Absolutely, and time is the key thing here. You know, we know that a day lost in seeding or in harvest can result in quality, quantity, and dollars lost to the producer, and anything we can do to alleviate that is important.
I understand you'll be making another presentation to further clarify and say your support for farmers' right to repair their machinery?
So the APAS is in the middle currently, Jim, of putting together a brief that we will submit to the committee, with just expanding on everything I talked about yesterday at the committee, more in depth about the farmers' right to repair their equipment.
So you want farmers to have more access to the software and computer programs being used in the equipment?
Absolutely, so that they could diagnose. And yes, there's some equipment now that, you know, the dealership can phone in remotely or log in remotely and diagnose. But let's be honest, that only works if you have adequate cell service. So in areas of the province where you don't have cell service and you've bought that equipment with that technology, it doesn't work. So yes, farmers need to be able to diagnose, and whether that is through computers or however, they need to be able to diagnose their equipment with what's wrong with it.
Ian Boxall of Tisdale is the president of APAS. The farm group holds its annual meeting Thursday and Friday in Saskatchewan.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising@realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio. And we're at Grow Canada in Ottawa, Ontario. And I'm joined right now, fresh off the stage from his opening keynote here on day three, is Jack Bobo. Jack, give us some of your background very, very quickly. Introduce yourself to the audience that has not heard you before.
Well, I am currently at Nature United, and it's global affiliate. I'm the director of global food and water policy, and so I have fisheries, agriculture, and freshwater teams that report to me. But I also spent 13 years with the U.S. government and the State Department working on global food policy.
So you had five key messages from your presentation this morning, and doing it in a very matter-of-fact opening, and I felt it was very welcoming to all sides of the discussion when it comes to which direction agriculture and the food system needs to be headed. One of your key points was things are getting better, but not fast enough, related to things like world hunger and the food system being broken. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so often I hear people talking about our broken food system, and you know, my first question is, well, if it's broken, when was it not broken? And I look back in time, and it's just hard to find a time where things were actually significantly better than they are today. You know, in terms of childhood mortality, we're at the lowest point in human history. In terms of undernourished people, things are dramatically lower than they would have been 20 or 30 years ago. And so the fact that 800 million people go to bed hungry is totally unacceptable. I mean, we need to do better. We need to address that, but we need to also recognize how far we've come, and that in general, things are good and getting better, not bad and getting worse. And that's a really important distinction, because if things are bad and getting worse, that means farmers aren't doing what they're supposed to do. If they're good and getting better, well, that tells me that farmers are on the right track, and we just need to help them move and accelerate their gains even faster.
How do you think we get to this conclusion? Because like, we've heard from a couple of speakers have talked about, you know, it's broken. We need to fix it. So how do we get to that being one of the conclusions? Is it basically to awaken people to the fact that there are some issues that need to be dealt with, or what? How did we get there?
Well, I think people are just, they're looking at the problems and they're using today as the baseline. So 40% of all the land on Earth is already devoted to agriculture. The amount of cropland the size of South America, the amount of pasture land the size of Africa. I mean, you know, that's pretty stark. 70% of all freshwater is going to agriculture. I mean, you know, that's a big deal. We have rivers that are running dry. So the problems are real and you can see them. And that's part of what makes people feel like things are moving in the wrong direction, because we don't want those things to happen, deforestation and others. But, you know, it's a question of whether or not in general we're moving in the right or the wrong direction. And that's harder to see unless you, like, change the aperture and you zoom out so that you can see where we've come from.
Words do matter. You mentioned that in the presentation. We have a lot of words floating around. You know, regenerative agriculture, sustainability, natural. It's hard to figure out kind of what all this really means. And to each individual person, there's going to be a different definition. You mentioned sustainability is a journey, not a destination. I like that one.
Yeah, people often ask, well, what is sustainable agriculture? And I tell them there's no such thing as sustainable agriculture, because agriculture today is just wildly better than it was 20 or 30 years ago, and it will be wildly better 20 or 30 years from now. So we're on this journey, and we should recognize that. And, you know, there are farmers that are doing things in ways that are, you know, ahead of their time, and there are people that are still kind of farming the way they were 20 or 30 years ago, and so we could do better there. But it's that recognition that what farmers often talk about as good management practices is what environmentalists mean by sustainability. We're just using different words to talk about the same thing.
Yeah. And the thing is, human nature is never to sit pat. That's just not how human history has worked at all. Not, you know, not only in agriculture, but across many different industries and topics.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the stats that I've given, you know, the resources necessary to produce a bushel of corn, you know, between 1980 and 2011. I mean, there are 35% fewer emissions produce that bushel, 40% less land, 40% less energy, 50% less water, 60% less erosion. And so, you know, those are all things that happened not because policies, not because consumers demanded it, but simply because farmers wanted to do a better job on their farm every day.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your Agra weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Cloudy today with 30% chance of flurries near noon, then partly cloudy. Winds up to 15 kilometers per hour. Temperature falling to minus 26 this afternoon. The low, minus 35 tonight, giving a wind chill of minus 34 this evening and minus 52 overnight. Tomorrow, mainly sunny, blowing snow in the morning and early in the afternoon. Wind south 30, gusting to 50, becoming light in the afternoon. The high, minus 15. Wind chill, minus 52 tomorrow morning, minus 23 in the afternoon. The low, minus 18. Thursday, sunny with a high minus 11, the low minus 14. Friday, sunny, the high minus 9, the low minus 11. Saturday, partly cloudy, the high minus 9, the low minus 11. Sunday, cloudy, 40% chance of flurries, the high minus 9, the low minus 13. Monday, cloudy, 40% chance of flurries with a high forecast of minus 12. Normal high for this date, minus 7. The normal low is minus 18. The sun rose at 8:43 this morning. It sets at 4:56 tonight. And currently, around the province, the hot spot is Estevan in the southeast corner at minus 20. The cold spot, Meadow Lake, at minus 32. Estevan, once again, the warm spot at minus 20. Saskatoon, minus 31. Swift Current, minus 28. Weyburn, minus 23. Yorkton, minus 26. Regina, sunny with some light snow. It's minus 22. That's 7 below Fahrenheit. Winds are from the east at 4. Humidity is 68%. The barometer rising, 102.4. Drifting snow in Moose Jaw, minus 25. Winds are from the west at 22. Once again, Regina, brilliant, bright, sunny day with some light snow in the area. It's minus 22. That's 7 below Fahrenheit.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Canada's food price report predicts the average family of four will be spending an additional $1,065 on food next year, which works out to a 5-7% increase. The report is an annual collaboration between four Canadian universities, including the University of Saskatchewan. Associate Professor Stuart Smythe says on-farm and processing costs are rising, but other things are adding to the bill as well.
At some of the transportation numbers, and they're saying that a little earlier in the fall there was 15,000 truck driving vacancies, and they expect that to rise by more than double come spring. So the fact that you've got containers, and then a lot of those will be food containers sitting in ports for an extra day or maybe a day and a half to get that driver, that contributes to the higher price that we end up paying. And that's something that I think a lot of us as consumers just really don't take into consideration.
Another item many consumers did not consider until now was the percentage of income spent on food.
You know, with the median income being, you know, in that $65,000 to $70,000 range, with a household of four spending $16,000 on groceries, it's certainly getting higher than it, you know, 20 years ago, it was maybe 8-10%. And I would say now in a lot of households, it's probably getting closer to 20%.
Other items affecting food prices include the carbon tax and geopolitical disputes such as Russia and Ukraine. Many, though, the Russian-Ukrainian war would lead to higher fertilizer prices. However, for some products, it has not. Josh Linville is a fertilizer market analyst with StoneX in the United States.
Russian exports have been solid. Chinese exports are picking up. European production has improved because their natural gas price has gone from $100 an MMBTU down to $30, $40 a ton range. The market has fundamentally shifted. Not only that, we see global demand also making decisions as well. We see farmers that have been pulling back on their decisions for nitrogen because of the high price. That's helped alleviate some of the price. Phosphate and potash.
Linville was in Saskatoon last Thursday for the Prairie Oat Growers Convention. The chief operating officer at Empire says his company is not profiting from inflation. Pierre Saint-Laurent, whose company operates Sobeys and Safeway stores, dismissed the allegation. Here he is speaking to the Commons Agriculture Committee through a translator.
Many believe that retailers deliberately profit from inflation. I can't speak for other retailers, but I can assure you that this is completely untrue in Empire's case. In the vast majority of cases, the increase in retail prices reflect the increased costs demanded by suppliers. As we've said in recent months, and as our quarterly reports indicate, sales and profitability have remained broadly stable despite accelerating inflation. While we receive hundreds of requests for cost increases from our suppliers every month, we are committed to rigorously evaluating each of them, reviewing all cost factors affecting suppliers to ensure that each request is factually justified in order to minimize the impact on our customers. Unfortunately, current conditions are such that our suppliers have no choice but to ask retailers for significant cost increases in order to remain profitable. Canadian farmers, in particular, are impacted by the current macroeconomic environment. Many farms would be in serious jeopardy if retailers did not accept their requests for increases.
Meanwhile, rising prices will push food security and affordability even further out of reach for Canadians a year after food bank use reached a record.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. A 10-year-old girl made a big sale at Canadian Western Agribition last week in Regina. 10-year-old Bryn Stepler and her father, Andre Stepler of Miami, Manitoba, had entries in the Agribition Charlet sale. Bryn Stepler explains further.
So I sold my cow, Gabby 546H, in the Agribition sale for $49,000.
$49,000. Now what breed?
Charlet.
Charlet, male or female?
Female.
So who was the buyer?
Chad and Stacy Matthews.
From where?
LaSalle, Manitoba.
From Manitoba. So they knew the cow going in. So how do you feel about selling your cow for that kind of money?
Good. It's a lot of money. Yeah.
Well, let's ask Dad. What's Dad going to make sure, what happens with the money, Dad?
Well, definitely, this was her show heifer for right till the calf was young. So she's been with this cow for a very long time, and she didn't want to sell her. But it's the reality of the agricultural world that we raise them, we sell them, we produce them, and that type of stuff. So she's worked so hard on it, and she will reinvest back into a new one, so into a new heifer, and then she has to put some aside for college or university, for sure.
Have you thought what you want to be when you grow up? It's a little early to tell, I know.
I'm a cattle farmer.
So you love cattle ranching?
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of breeds would you look into?
Charlet, Angus, Simmental.
Dad, what do you run? What kind of ranch do you run?
Yeah, we run about 500 purebred Charlet cows, and then we actually just implemented an Angus, black Angus cow herd and a Simmental cow herd. So we're definitely very busy.
Do you keep, then these are all purebreds?
Yep, they're all, the mass majority are all purebreds, but we do have some commercial cows just for recepts for embryo transfer and stuff. Yep.
10-year-old Bryn and her father, Andre Stepler, had entries in the Agribition Charlet sale last week in Regina. The Commons Agriculture Committee is reviewing Bill S-227. It's aimed at creating a National Food Day in Canada for the Saturday of the August long weekend. The idea first came about nearly two decades ago after the BSE outbreak in northern Alberta. Within hours, our international customers shut their doors to Canadian beef. Some would say the impact of that still being felt today. Author Anita Stewart and others stepped forward in those early days of the crisis in 2003 to promote Canadian beef domestically and help local producers. Stewart passed away 2 years ago, and now the Senate Agriculture Committee wants the day recognized each year nationwide. Ontario Tory MP John Nater introduced the bill in the Commons months ago and spoke about its importance to the Commons Ag Committee recently.
I think the sheer ability to share a meal, to break bread with those around you, whether it's with a family member, whether it's with a neighbor, whether it's with a community gathering, whether it's with a complete stranger, I think that ability to share a meal together, to bond over that that shared experience, I think is so important. One of the events that I like to attend every year in my riding is a meal called To Stratford With Love, and it happens before Christmas every year. 1,800 people come together and share a meal, and it's like a large family dinner where you come together, share a meal together, and get to know people that you frankly have never met before. But to everyone in that room, it's you're all neighbors, you're all family, you're all coming together. And I think the ability to share that bond over a meal is so important. I think frankly, sometimes we've lost that in recent times, especially with the challenges of the pandemic for the last 2 years. That ability to come together and share a meal together, I think, is so important.
That's Ontario Tory MP John Nater. Bill S-227 will likely make its way back to the Commons shortly, and with no opposition to it, receive royal assent soon afterward. That means the Saturday of the August long weekend next year could become the first National Food Day Canada. Coming up, Market Update.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Freeze Thomann Lumber. Since 1956, Freeze Thomann has been your trusted building materials supplier for every type of project. Freeze Thomann in Regina and Fort Capel. And Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your well water wonderful and your dugout drinkable. Get your Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. And Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving Southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices were mixed in early trading today. Viterra prices for feed barley fell $10 at $352.87. Canola rose $4.90 per metric ton at $839.12. Number one red spring wheat went up 30 cents at $407.43. The rest were unchanged. Durham, $494.82 per metric ton. Chickpeas, $925.95. Flax, $682.98. Lentils, $752.50. Oats, $239.32. Yellow peas, $466.27. And feed wheat, $289.56 per metric ton. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange this morning, hard red spring wheat for March went down 2.5 cents at $8.99.5.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now, the latest livestock quotations.
Amsel, 7,200 hogs Monday, selling at a range of $201 to $213 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 7,600 head, selling in a range of $202 to $213 per CKG. Hams cash oil price today is down, and forward contract prices opened lower this morning. On Monday, the Canadian dollar was down 35 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.3532. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 73.40 cents U.S. Daily U.S.-based cash prices are lower, with the Western Corn Belt down $2.20 U.S. 100 weight, while the national formula softened 17 cents relative to the previous day. The net value of the pork cutout has seen some week-over-week pressure, but it still remains at the second-highest value for the marketing week on record, in part supported by hams and picnics, where the daily reported value yesterday came in higher than every weekly benchmark going back to August of 2021. While picnics only make up about 11% of the total value of the carcass, its influence on net price is muted, but the primal has been steady to higher since September. It's once again higher than the summer highs and is supporting the total net value. Lean hog futures opened lower this morning, with additional pressure being applied as the trade progressed later in the session. After last week's volatility, futures are back to trading within the range that was being established at the beginning of November. Aside from last week's volatility, the trade has been very technical for over a month as the fundamental picture has not changed significantly.
Well, that's the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, but now let's have the latest livestock quotations.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of December 6th. Our last regular sale was on November 23rd. D1 and D2 cows sold from 78 cents to 88 cents. D3 cows sold from 65 cents to 77 cents. Counter cows sold from 50 cents to 65 cents. Heiferettes sold from $1.25 to $1.50. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.15 to $1.33. We had a bred cow sale here on December 2nd. Good dispersal cows sold from 1,700 to 1,975. Middle-aged dispersal cows sold from 13 to 1,700. All other bred cows sold for butcher price. We had our last pre-sorted sale of the year on Monday. 300 to 400 pound steers averaged $2.88 and sold up to $3.21. 400 to 450 pound steers averaged $2.89 and sold up to $3.16. 450 to 500 pound steers averaged $2.85 and sold up to $3.16. 500 to 550 pound steers averaged $2.75 and sold up to $3.06. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $2.62 and sold up to $2.89. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $2.56 and sold up to $2.72. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $2.51 and sold up to $2.61. And 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $2.37 and sold up to $2.52. Heifers were about 45 cents back from the steers. Some of the highlights from the sale were a group of 500 pound tan steers at $3.06 a pound, a group of 550 pound tan steers at $2.89 a pound, a group of 600 pound tan steers at $2.72 a pound, a group of 650 pound tan steers at $2.60 a pound, and a group of 700 pound tan steers at $2.52 a pound. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
And in Regina with sunny skies, it's minus 22. That's 7 below Fahrenheit. Coming up, the resort.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. Premier Scott Moe is jetting off to Washington, D.C. for a trade mission. He'll be trying to sell Saskatchewan's minerals and talk global energy concerns. Moe says the U.S. is an important market for Saskatchewan. Exports to the U.S. rose 51% from $13 billion in 2020 to almost $20 billion in 2021. Saskatchewan's top exports to the U.S. were crude oil, potash, and canola oil. He says Saskatchewan has occurrences of 36 of the 50 commodities on the U.S. critical minerals list, essential for global economic security and a low-carbon future. Critical minerals are used in the manufacturing of batteries for powering portable electronic devices and electric vehicles, and rare earth elements are poised to play a significant role in the economic growth of the future. Saskatchewan is home to the first of its kind minerals-to-metals rare earth processing facility in North America. The Premier returns to Saskatchewan on Thursday. On the markets, the TSX has fallen 150 points to 20,091. The Dow has dropped 227 points to 33,719. Oil has fallen 221 at $74.72 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is at 73.20 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, following the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag. 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.